Great. Gosh. All right. Well, thank you. And thank you for coming to this session. My name is George Shaler, and I'm a part of an evaluation team at the Muskie School at the University of Southern Maine, and this project is led by my colleague, Dr. Brenda Jolly. This is our disclosures. We don't have any. I'd like to, just before I get started, acknowledge the Robert Wood Johnson Foundation for funding this evaluation of the Multi-State Learning Collaborative Lead States and Quality Improvement, and in particular, just a shout out to Dr. Brenda Henry for providing such great guidance to us in our evaluation. So with my presentation, I'm going to give a very, very brief overview of the MLC initiative, our evaluation methods, and spend the bulk of my time talking about findings and opportunities in the areas of planning and startup and managing the learning collaborative process, and then we'll close with some implications. So briefly, the Multi-State Learning Collaborative is a multi-state initiative funded by the Robert Wood Johnson Foundation, and it's managed by the National Network of Public Health Institutes down in New Orleans. It is it has gone through three phases. It was initially launched in 2005, and the two major purposes are to promote the application of QI methods and prepare local and state health departments for national accreditation. A lot of the work is done in a learning collaborative or a mini collaborative process. The 16 states that are engaged in this work tackle various health outcomes and business processes in learning and developing QI capacity. These are the 16 states that are part of the MLC Collaborative. They came on in various phases, with about 4 to 7 states being added in each successive phase. And on the left-hand side is the various national partners that have played a very key role in this initiative. So the evaluation has numerous components, and I'm really going to speak today mostly about the case study approach, but briefly, we've been engaged, we've been doing several other evaluation activities. One in particular that I'd just like to highlight is we've been surveying local health departments in the 16 states around QI culture, QI capacity and competency, and the spread of QI within health departments. And we surveyed about 1,100 health departments, and we had a 65% response rate. And we're going to be doing more with this research and publishing it in the near future. But what I really would like to speak most about is our case studies, which included site visits, interviews, and document reviews with the many of the health departments in the 16 states. So here's our, briefly, just some of our methods. We decided, just for feasibility purposes, to focus in our first year on 12 of the 16 states, focusing on specific health outcomes or business processes. And this was work that was done early in the collaborative process. The participants, or the folks that we interviewed, included folks who are part of the state project management team, as well as a couple of health departments that were chosen by the state project management team in conjunction with the evaluation team based on some criteria that we had provided them. And as I said earlier, this method included site visits, interviews, and some document review. So the case studies were designed to advance our understanding of how states and their local partners organize and implement quality improvement strategies using a learning collaborative model, and we focused on the features that impede and enhance those efforts, and the factors that sustain that impact and build capacity for future improvement. So based on our review of the literature, this was kind of what we hypothesized would be the 12 or so factors that would contribute to a successful implementation of a mini collaborative or a learning collaborative. So in terms of results, we have planning and startup results, and I'll go through, there's about 4 or 5 of these. And the first key finding related to planning and startup is the relevance of a target area is critical and impacts engagement. And what do I mean by that is is that when a target area is selected, if the target area has been selected with input from local health departments, we found that that tended to increase engagement. And when the target area was aligned, if you will, with what locals were doing already, and it was relevant to what they wanted to do or were doing, then that impacted in the enhanced engagement. Another finding is that the structure of the mini collaborative affects its effectiveness. Involving senior leadership is important both at the local and at the state level. Having a diverse faculty, if you will, those that can provide training and quality improvement and provide expertise on the target area that was selected, whether it be working on immunizations, working on tobacco-related illnesses, that was very important in, as having a broad array of expertise that were available to the learning collaboratives. Having sufficient size for a learning collaborative was also successful. There were some states that had just a couple of health departments, and they did not have as much exchange of information as states that had a larger number of health departments working together. A couple other things, I won't read through all of these, but having clear roles and responsibilities in terms of who was going to do what at the state health department or part of the project management team. And those mini collaboratives that had, those health departments that were part of the mini collaborative in various states that had some prior working experience with one another were able to hit the ground running and were able to often understood this kind of collaborative approach, obviously, and I guess that's no great surprise, and we're able to make a little bit more headway right out of the gates. The third key finding related to planning and startup was around defining expectations and communicating them in advance. A lot of the goals of these mini collaboratives varied not only within states but across states, and as a result, it was important to kind of articulate to all the partners, especially in states that had large learning collaboratives, what the exact goals were. Was it around building QI? Was it improving quality within a target area? Was it also using quality improvement to build capacity for future accreditation efforts? And that the goals should be aligned with various timeframes. Some of the collaboratives we studied were very ambitious and were not able to achieve quite as much as they expected, and I think that caused a little angst at the outset. But anyways, again, that the expectations should be realistic and communicated in advance. Planning a learning collaborative takes an incredible amount of time, and we've heard this from all of the states that we've visited. In fact, much more so than I think a lot of states anticipated when they got into this work. Planning, some of the states that were able to engage a larger group in that planning effort, I think were not as overwhelmed as states that were just kind of planning it at, say, like the state health department level. And there's a lot of things to be considered when planning a learning collaborative, including the model of the learning collaborative, what type of curriculum, the type of work plan, the use of faculty. And I think one of the other things that we found that was, I guess, a revelation to us, maybe not as surprising, was is that we found that a lot of health departments were telling us, state health department folks were telling us after they started, is that they wish they'd assessed the participants' knowledge and of quality improvement, because that would have, had they had a better understanding of their QI capacity going into the training, they might have modified the training a little bit to better suit the level of understanding of QI. I think it was kind of assumed that there was a certain level of understanding, and that sometimes wasn't always the case. And then the last key finding in terms of planning and startup is the level of effort among the sponsors and the LHDs is often underestimated. And what I mean by that is, as I said earlier, planning and startup is very time-consuming, much more so than anticipated. And competing priorities can often kind of, as H1N1 and budget cuts, a lot of these things kind of compete with planning something like this. So, in terms of managing the learning collaborative, some of our key findings were opportunities for timely and frequent application of QI tools are essential. I think one of the things that we heard a lot from local health departments was is that there was a lot of training on a variety of quality improvement tools. I think there was a kind of a feeling among state health department folks is that at least initially in the first year is that they wanted to kind of get as much information out there as possible. And I think what happened was is that sometimes that was overwhelming to some local health departments, and for that matter, actually some state health department staff as well. And so what we heard quite loud and clear from local health departments, especially who are new to the learning collaborative process, is that we want more training on fewer tools and more frequent opportunities to practice these tools, because we heard, at least in a couple of states, is that they got a lot of great training by some great people in the field, like Jack Moran from the Public Health Foundation, but there weren't any opportunities to kind of use those tools once they got back to their local health departments. So, you know, giving practice, and then also providing feedback on the use of those tools once they're used at the local health department level. In terms of second key finding, in terms of managing a learning collaborative, is that we heard from a lot of local health departments and some state health departments is that there should be frequent opportunities for information exchange, not only in terms of in-person meetings, but also at what we call structured learning sessions, in other words, regular trainings. And also it's important to kind of communicate the value of QI to local health departments to let them know the significance of QI as it relates to not only their business processes, but the future of the field going in that direction. Also, a lot of local health departments cited site visits from their project management team as being very important in terms of getting feedback on their use of quality improvement. And then again, just communicating clearly the expectations of these learning collaboratives. So in terms of facilitating factors and impeding factors, there are a couple of key ones that I just wanted to mention. There's actually more, but for lack of time, I'll just cite these, is that prior state efforts to kind of increase public health infrastructure is often a facilitating factor. We found that in some states that had engaged in this kind of work, that kind of work had created a culture within that state of being able to kind of move forward with QI and with learning collaboratives, and obviously also having leadership buy-in from state health department and local health department folks was very important. One of the biggest impeding factors we found is that in some states, some of the project management team leaders were learning QI, were very new to the QI field, and so they were learning QI at the same time that the local health departments were learning QI. This is relatively new in some areas, and so there was this, at least what locals were saying, is that there wasn't a lot of expertise from state health department or project management team members in terms of QI. And then some of the other things was that you know, there was unrealistic goals, turnover, and competing priorities, and that within some of the learning collaboratives in some states, some health departments took the lead and actually did a far more of the work and did perhaps an unequal share of their work, and so the collaboratives didn't meet as much success because fewer health departments were doing the work. And then the last key finding as it relates to managing a learning collaborative is that there should be a good mix of content expertise and QI expertise among sponsors. In fact, I keep coming back to this point, but that's something we heard quite a bit. And that there should be, evidence should be used in selecting a quality improvement intervention. We found some states did a really good job of using certain evidence-based change packages with their quality improvement efforts. And some of the efforts in some of the states were more homegrown, maybe a little on the organic side. Not to say that those were wrong, but there wasn't a lot of evidence supporting them. and that sometimes financial resources may boost participation by local health departments. So in terms of limitations, this was a snapshot in time. This was done, I skipped over the fact that this was done last year, early in the collaborative process for most of these states. The collaborative process differed across a lot of the states. Some states had large collaboratives, others had just two health departments. The timelines differed. Sometimes we were visiting a state that was 5 or 6 months into a collaborative, and other times that we were there right at the outset. So the observations were limited. We only interviewed two health departments in the 12 states we visited. Some states had upwards of 50 plus health departments. That's not necessarily, obviously two is not representative of 50, but that's what we could do. And that the state lead chose that those health departments based in part on our criteria, but we couldn't kind of veto them, if you will, nor did we really want to. And then just some implications for sponsors of this kind of work is that these are some of the things that are just kind of restating what I've already said already, is setting aside some time for advanced planning. Recruiting skilled faculty is very important. We heard that quite a bit. Assessing the QI knowledge of participants beforehand is very important in terms of developing your curriculum. Recruiting enough and the right mix of participants. As I said already, a couple of collaboratives only had a couple of health departments. That didn't really foster a really rich exchange of information. Embedding the QI process embedding the QI method in the process was also really important, in that the QI was seen as integrated into the work that was being done. In some states, we saw we saw it as somewhat separate, and that's where we had some questions about whether that this would be a successful application. Communication obviously is important, and following, I think a lot of the health departments in the states that we visited really wanted a very structured approach, and in some states we found that that approach sometimes was lacking a little structure. And then implications for LHDs is that obviously garnering the support of your health department leadership is really important, as well as that of the staff. Continuously promoting the value of quality improvement. This is still relatively new concept in a lot of states. In terms of building sustainability, we see aligning the QI project with job responsibilities. A lot of these projects are very short term. Several of them have ended, and that to kind of build sustainability, you really need to kind of look for ways of building sustainability. And then use faculty and available technical assistance whenever possible. And then document your efforts as much as possible, so that when you're working on quality improvement efforts, you can have enough information to say, all right, we need to make some changes. It's based on the data that we've been gathering, and so that if you're using some kind of plan, do, study, act cycle, that you can make changes and do some kind of rapid cycle improvement. And then share your findings so that other people are aware, not only in the public health field, but also with your political constituents, such as your county commissioners and so on. So that's what I got. So thanks.
George,
yeah.
Stay here.
Yeah.
George, thank you very much. We have structured this in a way that there's time for just a couple questions after each presentation, and then we'll have generic questions at the end. Please.
You said assess quality improvement knowledge beforehand. That
yeah.
Means a lot of things. Can you be more specific about what you
mean? Yeah, that's a great question. Yeah, I mean, there are, I think there should be ways that you can kind of, you know, one of the things that we're doing in our annual survey is assessing people's familiarity with various QI tools. And so that would be maybe one way that could be done. So. Yeah, I don't think we, very good, yeah. I don't think we have a set time limit, but I think there were some states that were looking for more contact than they got from their state management team, and so I think at least having maybe every other week kind of contact, or, you know, like a lot of, some states are using like email listservs or something like that, just so that I think a lot of local health departments, especially in small communities, even though they're part of a larger collaborative structure, are doing this work kind of, you know, just with one or two, three people. And I think the opportunities to kind of get feedback on how they're doing is really important to them.
Many people define quality improvement very differently.
Yeah. Yeah.
So when we started to work with the local health departments, did you come up with a definition of what that was and methods?
You know, we did not do that, but I mean, a lot of the local health departments are doing this. I would put out there that they got some kind of understanding because they're part of the efforts going on in these 16 states. So I think I'm not answering this question really well, but I think the project management teams in those states would convey what quality improvement is all about to them. There would be some initial trainings so that they got some idea of what quality improvement was all about, as well as the tools that could be used to do quality improvement. I don't know if, yeah, Bill, you want to jump in there?
Thanks for that question. That hasn't come up yet in the sessions I've been in today. But in various collaboratives that the Robert Wood Johnson Foundation is funding for QI in public health, we're all taking the approach, which is, as you both said, there are a lot of different definitions of quality improvement. Is a very specific, narrow approach to quality improvement is that it has to identify a specific process, and that process has a beginning and an end. A specific model needs to be used to improve that process, and there are lots of different models for process improvement, so there's no one that's better or worse than the other. So there's the model for improvement, the Baldrige Award, Deming, Duran, Six Sigma, model for improvement is IHI, Six Sigma and Lean and so forth. So lots of different models, but if you put those three or four things together, then that is what, sometimes that's referred to as small QI. So a project needs to have all of those. There are a lot of other activities, important activities that healthcare organizations and public health organizations are doing that they might consider QI, but if they don't have those elements, then it's probably something else like quality assurance or quality control and so forth.